Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP-FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 99. Today's topic is Venezuela and the United Nations Charter. We'll be looking at the United Nations Charter and comparing what it says with the actions and the rhetoric of the United States government today as it looks at Venezuela and sees what can be done. Trump has turned his gaze upon Venezuela, as you might say. That's paraphrasing a book by Winston Churchill where he says, Caesar had conquered much of Europe and then he turned his gaze upon Britain. We'll be talking about Venezuela and the United Nations Charter in a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. We believe that climate change is real, that climate change is a problem we can solve and we must solve urgently. We also believe that the worst effects of climate change are not in the distant future and the point of no return is not in the distant future. In other words, we are not entitled to a habitable climate. So conservatives and libertarians are fond of saying the world doesn't owe you a living. At least that's what I always heard when I was growing up. The world doesn't owe you a living. But those very same people apparently think that the world owes us a habitable climate, irrespective of what we do or don't do. Our carbon emissions keep going up, 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 up. It's not as if carbon emissions are going down gradually. It's not as if carbon emissions are holding steady. Carbon emissions keep going up, 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 up. We've known for 150 years that carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas, that it tends to warm the climate. And yet some of us think that we can just put unlimited amounts of carbon into the atmosphere and it's just going to be A-OK because we're such swell people. And because we've never wanted to listen to these environmental alarmists anyway. Meanwhile, if we continue with business as usual, best estimates are that the temperature of the Earth's surface is going to go up between 4 and 6 degrees Celsius in this century. That's between 7 and 11 degrees Fahrenheit. Temperatures have already gone up 1 degree Celsius or a little more, or approximately 5 degrees Fahrenheit, approximately 2 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, if your body had a temperature, a fever of 1 or 2 degrees Fahrenheit, then that's an issue. You might not feel so well. If it goes up to 3 and 4 degrees Fahrenheit, you'd feel even worse and you'd be getting into a situation that is seriously threatening to your health. It only stands to reason that the Earth, with its incalculably complex ecosystems, is going to be the same way. Your body could not survive a temperature of 7 to 11 degrees Fahrenheit. And yet conservative estimates are telling us that that's exactly what we're going to be seeing in this century as far as the Earth's temperature. We humans today, many of us, are just completely out of touch with nature and completely out of touch with the natural systems on which we depend for our very survival. The people that run our government and the people that run the largest corporations, they might have a fancy degree in finance or law or political science or computer science, but they are woefully ignorant about the ecosystems on which we depend. In order to change this woeful situation, so it's like this. It's as if we are all passengers on a bus, and that bus is headed for a cliff, or let's say it's headed down a road, and we know that down this road the bridge is out. And yet the driver of the bus doesn't want to stop and doesn't even want to slow down, and in fact is accelerating toward this place where the bridge is out. Now the driver is having a good old time and does not even want to think about the bridge being out. The driver of the bus, in this analogy, the driver of the bus is our largest corporations and all the people that benefit from concentrated wealth and power, even at the expense of all of us. The driver of that bus, in this analogy, has to be removed from his position because he is no longer qualified to drive the bus in a manner that is competent and safe for the rest of the passengers. The people who currently hold power are no longer qualified to rule our society in a way that is safe or competent. They must be removed from power. Nonviolently, peacefully, but they must be removed from power. In order to remove them from power, we must understand how power works. We must understand how much of the power today is concentrated through vehicles called corporations. Corporate power and the wealth that it creates is going to have to either be eliminated or radically transformed into a system that works for the great majority, not just a system that helps the very, very few extract a great deal of money. Corporations and corporate power are at war with the people of America and the people of the world. Corporations have wrapped themselves in the American flag as if their interests are our interests, but their interests are the opposite of our interests. The Climate Report is a course in intellectual self-defense so we can defend ourselves against the onslaught of propaganda and even laugh at it because of the things we are asked to believe are truly ridiculous. Corporations have powerful PR and propaganda machines, and we must learn to separate the rhetoric from the reality so that we can be powerful players in a functioning democracy. And that's what the Climate Report is all about. This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. Now, as promised, we're going to be talking about Venezuela and the United Nations Charter. So what that's about is the United States is part of the United Nations. And I have said repeatedly on this show that the United States routinely, regularly, and on a large scale violates international law. So currently, as I speak, the United States wants to intervene in Venezuela. The National Security Advisor calls it a troika of tyranny. Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, the troika of tyranny. People on the right wing, who are all in bed with the largest corporations, want you and I to believe, against our interests, that socialism equals tyranny. They also want us to believe that we should intervene in other countries because we want to and we can. But when the United States does that, we are violating international law in many different ways, not least of all the UN Charter. Now, the other day I was reading the Republican Party platform, just a few episodes I was reading through the Republican Party platform, and it talks about, you know, the Constitution is, we believe in the Constitution, something to that effect. Here it is. We believe that our Constitution should be honored, valued, and upheld. We believe that our Constitution should be honored, valued, and upheld. So the thing that they don't know or don't want to know is that when the United States signs a treaty, then that treaty is the law of the land. The Constitution says that when we sign a treaty, that treaty is the law of the land. So if our leaders willingly violate a treaty, they are violating the law of the land and they are violating the Constitution. So wouldn't you think that if Republicans believe that our Constitution should be honored, valued, and upheld, they would want to know what it says and that they would be willing to obey the Constitution? You would think that, wouldn't you? You can make up your own mind as to why Republicans and Democrats too, but You can make up your own mind as to why our leaders, currently the Republican administration, feels so little obligation to know or care what the Constitution says. It must be political rhetoric because it sure doesn't show up in their actions. So let's look at the United Nations Charter and let's see what it says that could be relevant to our current posture of intervention in Venezuela. Okay, here's how it starts. Now, this is back in 1945. The United Nations was formed in 1945. And, of course, 1945 was the end of World War II, and they were looking around them and they were saying, hey, maybe we can avoid this big war thing. You know, hundreds of millions of people, maybe, not sure how many millions of people, certainly tens of millions of people died in World War II, vast majority of them civilians. So they're saying, let's see if we can do something to prevent war. So here's what they said. We, the peoples of the United Nations, determined to save, in other words, we are determined to do these things, and here's what we are determined to do. To save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind. So war brings sorrow to mankind. The United States, whether fortunately or unfortunately, the people of the United States, of the mainland United States, with the exception of 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, the people of the United States have not been exposed to the ravages of war since the Civil War over 150 years ago. So when we impose war on Vietnam or Iraq or Venezuela or Nicaragua or Cuba, or Syria, or Libya, we are doing to other people what we cannot even imagine being done to us, because it hasn't been done to us. It's unfortunate that the most powerful country in the world is ruled by people who have never seen war. And that includes the draft dodgers who are in power, not least of all John Bolton. Nothing against draft dodgers, unless 30, 40, 50 years later, you are sending other people to war under circumstances that you were not willing to go to war yourself. Continuing to read. To reaffirm the faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, in the equal rights of men and women of nations large and small, and to establish conditions under which justice and respect for the obligations arising from treaties and other sources of international law can be maintained, and to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom, and for these ends, to practice tolerance and live together in peace with one another as good neighbors. Now, when we intervene in Venezuela, are we practicing tolerance? Are we living together in peace with one another as good neighbors? No, actually, we're being bad neighbors. We're being among the worst neighbors. Now, people like, you know, Trump and Bolton and all the war hawks that are beating the drums now, they say, well, Venezuela is socialist and the people are suffering because they're socialist. Well, for one thing, the people of Venezuela have chosen Maduro to be their leader. So are we going to respect the sovereignty of Venezuela? Now I'm going to skip down just a little bit, and it says, the purposes of the United Nations are to maintain international peace and security, to take effective collective measures for the prevention and removal of threats to peace, and for the suppression of acts of aggression or other breaches of the peace, and to bring about by peaceful means, in conformity with the principles of justice and international law, adjustment or settlement of international disputes or situations which might lead to the breach of peace. In other words, if we're going to have disputes, we're going to try to solve these disputes collectively, peaceably, and in the conformity with the principles of justice and international law. One of those principles of international law is that nations are sovereign. Are we going to respect the sovereignty of another nation? Yes or no? some people say, well, they're in a humanitarian crisis and we need to send humanitarian aid. As if people like John Bolton and Elliot Abrams and Donald Trump and Mike Pence give a darn about the people of Venezuela. If we cared about the people of Venezuela, there wouldn't be sanctions. Sanctions kill. Sanctions, it's a fancy-sounding word. What it means is economic strangulation. We are making every attempt to strangle Venezuela economically. Another purpose of the United Nations is to develop friendly relations among nations based on respect for the principle of equal rights. That means equal rights of people, and it also means equal rights of nations. So the United States has to decide, is it going to live by the rule of law, or is it going to live by the rule of force? Is it going to be a sovereign nation among other equal sovereign nations, or is it going to impose its will by force on smaller nations? At this point in time, the answer is clear. For ever since 1945, the United States, and before that, but ever since 1945, the United States has been full willing to impose its will by force on other nations. That is entirely inconsistent with the letter and the spirit of the United Nations, which I will remind you is a treaty that we entered into freely. It is the law of the land. The Constitution says that treaties are the law of the land, and this is only one of the treaties that we signed that we are currently violating, not only with the threat of military force or the use of military force, but with sanctions. Another purpose of the United Nations is to achieve international cooperation in solving international problems. Now, there have been numerous people who have offered to broker mediation between the United States and Venezuela, which is kind of silly when you think about the United Nations. The United States has no reason to intervene in Venezuela to begin with. So it's clear that the United States is not going to submit to a process of mediation. Trump was, Maduro offered to meet with Trump, and Trump said, well, he offered to meet with me, but I said no because we're very far along in the process. Okay, very far along in the process. That is the type of BS that you hear from somebody who doesn't want to do business with you. It's completely disingenuous. It has far along in whose process? So Trump came along and all of a sudden he has a process? The only process he has is the use of force to get what he wants. And it's not just Republicans. Hillary Clinton did the same thing to Libya. Barack Obama did the same thing to Syria. Barack Obama maintained illegal wars against Afghanistan and Iraq. Now we're into Article 2 of the UN Charter. The organization and its members, in pursuit of the purposes stated in Article 1, shall act in accordance with the following principles. The first principle is the organization is based on the principle of sovereign equality of all its members. Sovereign equality. Is the United States, you, my listener, would you rather the United States be part of a community of nations that respect one another's sovereign equality? Wouldn't you rather live in a world like that instead of the world that we live in, where we have erratic and unpredictable leaders and we never know when they're going to get us into the next trillion-dollar war? We never know when they're going to get us into the next war that costs millions of lives. Yes, millions. The Iraq War, I will remind you, cost millions of lives. The Vietnam War cost millions of lives. It just goes to show you that people with a suit and tie can be savages. Just because you wear a suit and tie does not mean you are civilized. Just because you have all this technology at your disposal does not mean you are civilized. Here's another principle. All members, in order to ensure to all of them the rights and benefits resulting from membership, shall fulfill in good faith the obligations assumed by them in accordance with the present charter. In other words, you shall make good faith efforts to fulfill your obligations. You shall make good faith efforts to have your disputes resolved by the United Nations. You shall make good faith efforts to respect the sovereignty of other nations. Here's another principle. All members shall settle their international disputes by peaceful means in such a manner that international peace and security and justice are not endangered. Does the United States do that? Does the United States settle its disputes with other nations by peaceful means? By no means do we settle our disputes with other nations by peaceful means. War is the first resort, not the last resort. Why? Because we're the biggest, the baddest, the meanest, and nobody can stop us. And another why behind the why is that our society is driven by the profit motive. Not just our society, but our government. It's not some strange psychological quirk of Americans that we are somehow enthralled by the profit motive or beholden to the profit motive. It's that way because corporations that are themselves creatures of the profit motive have captured our government. Our government no longer acts freely on behalf of the people. Our government is no longer ruled by a sovereign, democratic people. And the reason I bring up the profit motive, because it's not just about Venezuela's oil, it's also because of the war machine. Guess who loves chaos and war? People who sell weapons. Imagine the people that sell cruise missiles, for example, sitting around the boardroom saying, you know, this sure is a beautiful weapon, but I hope we don't have to use it, you know, because people would die. And, you know, we want to make money, but we don't want people to have to die. Can you imagine that conversation take place? Or imagine the people that make F-22 fighter planes or F-35 fighter planes. This sure is a beautiful plane, but I hope we don't have to use it. Or the people that make fragmentation bombs that carry depleted uranium. You know, these sure are effective bombs, but I hope we don't have to use them. No, they're not saying that. They want war, and they don't care if other countries are torn apart by war as long as they make money doing it. The ethics are not their concern. Morality is not their concern. Humanity is not their concern. Decency is not their concern. Next principle. All members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state. Woo, there's a doozy. Is the United States at this point in time using the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of Venezuela? You bet. This principle says all members, that is, including the United States, shall refrain from their international relations, in their international relations, from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state. So the people of Venezuela freely elected Nicolas Maduro multiple times. They freely elected Hugo Chavez multiple times. And yet all you hear is that Chavez was a dictator, Maduro was a dictator. How do you get that? Because when you call somebody a dictator, and of course the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and all these NPR, are all repeating the official party line. When you call somebody a dictator, then has enough, you know, a lot of Americans are not fooled by this, but it has enough propaganda value that, you know, people are busy and they don't have much influence over our government anyway. So they just say, well, I guess he's a dictator. I guess he's a bad guy. I guess we got to go in and take him out. As if we have any right to do that. As if we are proud of what we've done in the past in Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria. And it's not frequently taught. I know in my history classes, I was never taught about how many democratically elected governments we have overthrown, blatantly overthrown democratically elected governments. The majority of dictators in the world today are supported by the United States. The United States does not want to deal with democratically elected governments because democracies get the silly idea that the resources of their country belong to the people of the country and not to U.S. corporations. It's just a silly, silly idea. But this principle says member nations shall refrain not only from the use of force, but from the threat of force. So when President Trump says all options are on the table, that is a direct violation of the Constitution of the United States, because the Constitution says treaties are the law of the land. Now, also I have here, I'm finished with the UN Charter for now, but here's some language from the so-called non-aligned movement. So the non-aligned movement doesn't officially exist anymore, but during the Cold War, there were countries that were saying, hey, how about we not be part of the Soviet sphere of influence and not be part of the United States sphere of influence? How about if we can just check this box that says none of the above? So the non-aligned movement were a group of nations, and they had their own meetings and their own discussions and their own declarations. And here's one of the, here are five principles that they decided upon. One, mutual respect for each other's territorial integrity and sovereignty. That's consistent not only with law, but with decency. Number two, mutual non-aggression. Hey, how about the United States not act aggressive toward other countries? Mutual non-interference in domestic affairs. Hey, sanctions are an interference in domestic affairs. I don't care how much humanitarian aid you send, the sanctions are interference in the domestic affairs of Venezuela. And lastly, peaceful coexistence. Hey, how about if we try this thing called peaceful coexistence? So, got less than a minute left. Let's wrap it up. Here's the thing. Climate change is a hard deadline that we can't afford to miss or toy with. The war machine drains resources, drains mental power, drains money from what we need to do to stuff that we don't need to be involved in. The United States has been an empire ever since it was founded. It's time for us to get a new identity. It's time for us to get a new purpose. It's time for us to get a new role in the world. The role that we play as bully is not honorable, it's not decent, it's not legal, it's very expensive, and it hurts average people like you and me. Let's make some changes. Thanks for joining me. Hope you'll come back next time.